I want you to find 1 Timothy chapter 5, or 4 rather. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to get to chapter 5 this morning before we're done. But remember, as well, I forgot to mention earlier, next Sunday's Father's Day. And so we're looking forward to that. We've got some special things planned. And I'm especially proud of the Father's Day gift that I found this year. If I do say so myself. So fathers, you're definitely going to want to be here Sunday, because you're definitely going to want this present. And if you're not here, you don't get it. So, but you, what's that? That's not a four-wheeler. And, so remember that. And this morning, as we continue traveling through Paul's letter to Timothy, I think I've mentioned a few times that 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. Paul wrote them to these individuals, and they deal with pastoral things. But they're not just applicable to Timothy and Titus, they're applicable to all of us as believers. And there's things that we need to know and understand. And what I want us to take away this morning from this sermon is that we all have a ministry for the Lord to do. There's something that every single one of us, as long as you're breathing, if God hasn't called you home, there is something that God intends for you to be doing for Him. And so the challenge is, get it done. Do what God has given you to do. And as Paul's going to say here in just a minute, we'll read, do it to your full ability. In other words, put everything you have into what God has given you to do, and let it shine before others. So think about it. You know, kids are going to camp this morning, and earlier today, saying about that little children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." We all sing that one Sunday morning. And we'll let Miss Evelyn know to be practicing on that. We'll sing it. Anyway, that was just free information. Rabbit trail. Now back on track. That God intends for us not only to serve Him, but our service is supposed to help others find a relationship with God and grow in their relationship with God. That's not a responsibility of just pastors, but it's a responsibility of every Christian. Just like the characteristics in chapter 3 were things that the pastor was supposed to embody, characteristics of integrity that the pastor was supposed to embody, but that's things that God expects for every Christian. And I think the same is true here. And so the first thing that we have to do in order to get it done is, first of all, give yourself fully to the Lord. You know, you can't accomplish something to the full ability and your full potential if you don't put your full effort into it. And so let's take a look. We're going to read verses 12 through 16 of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." And so Paul's first admonition that I want us to look at, as we understand that we all have work to do, God expects you to give every bit of it. You know, our relationship with God and our service to God cannot be half-baked. You know, it's like a cake. If you get a cake and it's half-baked, it's not going to be good. If you eat it, it's going to make you sick. But when that thing is exfoliant that, you know, it gets in there for however long it's supposed to bake. It gets, you know, airy and done. It's good. Not too many cakes I've ever met that I haven't liked. But they've got to be done. And so you can't just start something and then stop and say, well, I did it. And you can't just half do something. You've got to fully do it. You've got to fully engage and fully give your attention. So he says to Timothy, who God had called and set apart to be a pastor, he said, God has given you this. So don't let anybody say, well, he's young, so he doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't do anything, you know. But don't let them excuse. What he's saying is, don't let people make an excuse for you because you're young. He said, you be an example to other believers in word and in conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Give your attention to reading and to exhorting, to teaching doctrine, to teaching the church what proper beliefs and practices are concerning the church. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. And friend, I want you to understand, whatever gift that God has given you, and the truth is, if you're a Christian, you have some gifts. You have natural abilities that God gives you, but Scripture says that as a child of God, God gives you and enables you with certain spiritual characteristics and certain spiritual faculties, if you will, that God intends for you to use to help build His kingdom. Paul and Peter in the New Testament, in some of their letters, give us some enumerations of what those spiritual gifts are, but the truth of the matter is, every one of you have at least one. And the thing is that God expects you to be using it. He didn't give it to you so you could put it on a shelf. He didn't give it to you so that you can, you know, brag and say, hey, listen, I've got this spiritual gift, nanny, nanny. You know, my gift's better than your gift. No. But you need to understand that God has given you spiritual gifts, and God expects you to use them. Whether it's teaching or preaching or knowledge or faith or mercy or hospitality or whatever it might be. And there's a long list of spiritual gifts. And God has said, His Word says that God gave every believer spiritual gifts so that the church would be complete, so that it could function the way that it's supposed to. Now, let me show an example of this. We all have two legs. They all work at least semi-well. You know, you can live with one leg. In fact, you can live with no legs. But you can't get around near as effectively or as easily with one leg or no legs as you can with two legs. And unfortunately, a lot of times churches have to function on one leg because the other leg hadn't shown up. It's missing in action. And so the church isn't complete, and it's not as effective as God intends for it to be and as it could be. How sad it is that few of us reach our full redemptive potential, if you will, by not utilizing the gifts that God has for us. It is a wonderful thing to know God's grace and to be saved. That's wonderful. And we ought to celebrate that, and we ought to praise God for that. But friend, listen to me. God just didn't save you from sin. You be assured God saved you for something. That God wants to accomplish something through your life. And God wants to accomplish something by your hand, but if you do not give yourself fully to the Lord, that can't happen. God can't use you if you don't show up. Just like, you know, we've got Braves season. I'm thankful baseball is able to come back this year. A team member doesn't show up. Guess what? He doesn't play. And if enough of them don't show up, We're going to lose. Because just like a ball team needs every player and every position needs to be filled, the church needs every member and every spiritual gift being utilized to its full potential. And so just as Paul admonished young Timothy, he says to you. And by the way, I think they should, don't let your age, don't let because you're young or old or your job, how busy you are, because the truth is we all have the same number of minutes and hours in the day. And the truth of the matter, we choose how we're going to use them. And we need to, as God's children, make sure that we use some of those minutes and hours for the Lord. God does not desire bench warmers, and He doesn't desire part-timers. He desires people that are completely sold out to Him and love Him on Sunday morning and on Wednesday afternoon and on Friday night just as much. That God has called us to accomplish a task. And so we need to understand we have a ministry that God wants us to complete. And we need to give ourselves fully to it, whatever it is. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what the Lord has for me. Ask Him. Ask the Lord and He'll show you. The problem is that we don't want to ask the Lord because we're afraid of what He might say. And we may not want to do it. And so if we don't ask Him if He needs our help with certain things, then, hey, we think we're off the hook. But that's not the case. So God has a work for us to do. And just as He said to Timothy, Paul says to us, take heed of the ministry that God has given to you. Be an example to others. And then he said in verse 16, for continuing in them, for when you do that, you'll be saved. In other words, your salvation will be evident, and you'll impact those around you. Those that hear and see your work for the Lord. And so that brings us to the second thing as we move on to 1 Timothy chapter 5, is that God has a ministry for every one of us. And so next I want to talk to you this morning about our ministry to each other. Let's read verses 1 through 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor the widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So I want us to understand that Paul says, listen, we have a work to do, and the work and ministry that God has for us to complete is not just at church on Sunday morning, and it's just not on a mission trip or a service project or something that we're doing for the church. But an important ministry that God has given to us is our homes. Parents need to see their children as a ministry. We need to see not only in our physical home, but the Bible teaches over and over again, doesn't it, that when we are in Christ, we are part of God's family. We are a spiritual family. And so that means that we see each other that way. And though you probably, you know, kid or jest or maybe even fight and bicker with your family members, you still have a love for them and you still will do things for them that you probably wouldn't do for others. That is the way that the church is supposed to be. In the book of Acts, it begins by Peter preaching his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And then in Acts chapter 2, we find the church being the church in its earliest days. And it says there in Acts chapter 2 that they met every day for prayer, for Bible study, for fellowship. They ate together. And it says they held everything in common so that whenever any person among the family had a need, whoever, and it's not saying that they were socialists and, you know, just everybody put their money in a common bucket. That's not what it's saying, but it's saying that, hey, listen, if I had a tractor and farmer, you know, next door's tractor, and of course they didn't have tractors back then, but just humor me for illustration. His tractor broke down. I was willing to let him borrow my tractor, or better yet, I might go and work his field for him. So that, hey, listen, if I have something and a brother or sister needs to borrow it or needs to have use of it, then we make sure that that need is met. And so he addresses, you know, the issue of widows and as another picture of how that takes place. If somebody is really a widow, in other words, they don't have any family, the church was tasked with seeing that their needs were taken care of. That they would take them in and, you know, care for their need, you know, feed them and those kind of things. But if they had family, you know, they had a son or daughter or even grandchildren, Paul says, that they needed to take care of that widow, that elderly grandmother or grandfather, as the case may be. And he reminds us that, hey, listen, a family, someone that doesn't take care of their family is worse than an unbeliever. Well, I think he's not talking just about our physical immediate family. I think he's talking about, but he's also talking about our church family. And not just our First Real Baptist Church family, but our Christian family, our big church family. The people of God that, you know, when our brothers and sisters, you know, in the Middle East are persecuted for their faith, it ought to bother us, and we ought to pray for them, and we ought to be concerned for them. When our United Methodist brother that lives across the street loses a family member, we ought to grieve for him, and we ought to be there for him. Because, yeah, he's not just a member of a different church, but a different denomination, and yet, if he's a believer in Christ and he's been saved by the blood of Jesus, he's your brother or sister in the Lord. And you're supposed to treat him like a brother or sister and care for him. So he says, listen, you have a ministry, and remember that part of that ministry is looking after one another. You know, we think about the story of Cain and Abel. He said, hey, listen, am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer is, yes, you are. James asked that same question rhetorically. He said, yes, you are your brother's keeper. They were supposed to look after one another. And so that if we see somebody erring, we're to be concerned enough to go to them and say, hey, brother, sister, you're headed down the wrong path, and I'm concerned about you, and I want to help you get right with the Lord. Let's say, you know, yes, we, you know, kind of take care of our own needs as best we can. I think there is some scriptural precedent or precepts to that. But at the same time, we also need to be there for one another. And I'm sure we all have had times where you know, our church family has stepped in, helped us in some way. I know you all prayed for me last week. I was sicker than a dog for a few days. And thankfully, I'm better. And I know that some of you called me. I got emails and texts and lots of prayers. You know, it's, I'm not any of your natural child or brother or sister or cousin or whatever. But we are spiritually related. And you express that. And we could spend all, you know, through lunchtime talking and sharing about how different ones at different times have helped us when we've had a need. I say oftentimes, I don't know how people without the Lord and without a church family make it. The truth of the matter is they don't very well. They survive. We all know there's a difference between surviving and making it. And I think God intends for us to, he said, listen, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. I didn't want just to scrape by. But when we're fully devoted to the Lord, Paul, I think, puts this in Timothy's instruction for us so that, hey, listen, yeah, we're fully devoted to what God has given us to do, but we're not supposed to be so laser focused and have such blinders on that we're doing what God has called us to do that we forget about those around us. And so he also goes on and he says, hey, listen, that has to do with the ministry and the witness, not only to other believers, but to unbelievers, to those who are lost. You know, when people who are not saved see the church behaving like it's supposed to, not like unfortunately it does so often with infight, but when we are the church that we're supposed to be and we're loving one another and we're there for one another, you better believe the world takes notice of that. And it impacts them, whether they'll admit it or not, it impacts them. And it certainly speaks to them, and the Holy Spirit uses that witness to stir and turn around in their heart, so that one day they might come to faith and you might have a part to play in that. And so that brings me to the last point this morning, and that's our witness to others. Take a look with me down in verse 17. It said, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And a laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men will follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those otherwise cannot be hidden. So the Apostle Paul said, hey, listen, how you behave and how you embrace and work out this ministry that God has given you to do, it's to be with your whole heart. You're supposed to be fully devoted to the Lord, and you're to be serving how God has called and gifted you. You're to be using those gifts, and you're to be using those gifts to help others. But then he said, hey, listen, you know what? You need to honor your elders, and it's not talking about older people. It's talking about leaders in the church, pastors and deacons, in our context. He says, listen, I charge you before God and Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Well, that is a rather unfortunate translation. The word there in the Greek can be translated angel. It's the Greek word angelos, where we get angel from. But the Bible in Greek, it doesn't just mean angels. When we think of angels, we think of the halo and the, you know, flappy wings. it can, an angel is a messenger. That really is what, and that's what, how Paul is using it here. That, listen, you need to be accountable to not only God, but you need to be accountable to the messengers of faith. And who's the messengers of faith? It's all believers. We're all to be messengers of the Lord. We're all to have this ministry. And so he says, listen, you know what? God has a way, and God is going to make it evident. People will notice. He said, listen, people's sins, you can tell what some people's sins are. If somebody's as drunk as Cooter Brown, you can tell. You don't have to wonder. Well, I wonder if he's been in the sauce today. You can tell. And some sins are clearly evident. And some you don't know about. He says, that same way, there's some good works that you see, and it's clearly evident. But some good works and the impact of those good works, you may never know this side of heaven. But Paul's point is this, that the things that we do for the Lord and in the name of the Lord make an eternal difference and an impact, not only in our life, but in those around us. And so we need to understand and be careful. If church attendance is optional and we may or may not go, that says not only to your church family, but it says to your lost neighbors, hey, church really isn't all that important to me. And God's not all that important to me. If they see you at church on Sunday, but they see you partying, carousing, and you know, all kinds of other stuff on Friday and Saturday, that speaks volumes to them too. But when they see your good works, say, you know what, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. I wonder what it is. And it may come to the point they say, you know what, hey, Holly, notice that, you know what, you're kind of compassionate and you care about people that nobody else really cares about. I see you doing kind things and you going somewhere on Sunday morning, I assume, to church. Why do you do that? Well, what a great opportunity to say, you know what, I do it because Jesus Christ came into my life and saved me when I was a sinner. And he's changed my life and he can change yours too. That's all you need to know about the gospel, is that Jesus has saved you from your sin and he can do the same for anyone else. People know and people are watching, church. Whether you want to admit it or not, people are watching you and how you live your life. And they're seeing how you serve the Lord or how you don't serve the Lord. And it speaks volumes to them. And so as we close this morning, here's the... You have a job to do. Get it done. Don't wait for tomorrow to get it done. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't wait for somebody to ask you to do it or to remind you to do it. Just get it done. And let that witness of your serving the Lord be a light to this world. Can I tell you that our world is not getting any lighter? It's getting darker. And the darker this world gets, the more it needs the light of Christ. And so, church, God says to you, go and shine. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you that you do transform us and make us into something new. And Lord, we are so thankful that not only do you save us from sin, but you save us for good works. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to walk in those good works. Lord, we are not saved by them, but we do them as evidence and as a testimony to the difference that you've made in our life. And may our walk with you be so evident in how we live and how we treat others and how we speak that people know that we belong to you before they ask or before we tell them. They just know because they see you in us. And Lord, we pray you would forgive us when we don't do that. Lord, you've given us all a ministry. And Lord, sometimes we are neglectful of that ministry. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for that. And Lord, maybe there's someone here today, and Lord, you've called them, you've given them gifts, and Lord, they've not been using them. And today you've spoken to them, and they would need to just speak to you and say, Lord, you know what? Forgive me. Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to be about your business. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for our church family and how we are there for one another. Help us to do that without prejudice, without partiality, to be there for every single one. Lord, because we are all part of your family, we thank you that we can be named children of God. There's someone here today that doesn't know you, watching on Facebook that doesn't know you. Would you speak to their hearts today? Help them, Lord, to just come with a humble heart, acknowledging their sin and confessing you as Lord, and find new life. And if one of your children here today, Lord, maybe this has just been a general reminder for all of us. Maybe it's been a challenge because someone is not where they ought to be with you. Lord, however you've spoken to our hearts, would you help us to respond appropriately? We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.